You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
This past October, VanOck CEO John Furlong went to the UN to promote the concept of a global truce during the Olympics. In the tradition of what's called the Olympic Truce Movement, following Furlong's speech, Canada and the 191 other UN member states passed, by consensus, a resolution to uphold the values expressed by the truce movement. Yet in these past 2 weeks, Canada and its allies launched the largest military operation in the war on Afghanistan. Derek O'Keefe, the co-chair of the Canadian Peace Alliance, spoke at W2 Media Center in Vancouver last week on this issue, and we'll hear that broadcast now.
I'm here today to bring up an issue that has been sadly neglected in a lot of the coverage of the Olympics, and that is the military offensive that has been going on in Helmand province in Afghanistan, and that has been taking a heavy civilian toll. On February 12th, basically as the opening ceremonies were happening in Vancouver, on the other side of the world, it was early on February 13th in southern Afghanistan, and while the world was watching and celebrating Vancouver's Olympics opening, at the same time, in southern Afghanistan's Helmand province, NATO was launching the largest offensive in the 9 years of the war in Afghanistan. So far, so we have the Olympics have been ongoing for 1 week today, and the offensive in Helmand province has also been going on for 1 week. And the death toll thus far, just among Afghan civilians, is already over 20. 12 civilians were killed in one massacre by NATO on the first weekend of the Olympics. And I think it's important to reflect on the difference in coverage and the difference in outrage. We might look at the outrage that the media has expressed over some property damage in Vancouver and whatever people think of those actions. I don't think anyone can argue that the massive mobilization of state violence and military violence resulting in the death of more than 20 civilians is a far more egregious action, and yet we've seen almost no coverage of this. Imagine if the time given to the images of Saturday's actions in downtown Vancouver had been given to the images of death and suffering in Helmand province that have taken place while these games have been ongoing. We haven't seen the images of the dead in Afghanistan. We don't know their names, like we know the name of the Georgian loser who tragically died before the Olympics started, and it really begs the question as to whether all human life is really valued as equal, and if us here in Canada, a country that is hosting the Olympics and is involved in the war in Afghanistan, truly value all human life equally and condemn all taking of human life equally. So it's not just outrageous because of the lack of coverage, but it's also outrageous because there's something called an Olympic truce movement that Canada has signed onto, and in fact, Canada has promoted, and VanOck, the Vancouver Olympic Organizing Committee, has promoted at the United Nations. So I just want to read from you from a presentation that was given to the United Nations in October of last year, October 2009. VanOck CEO John Furlong addressed the United Nations. And he said, in speaking to the Olympic truce movement, "The Games are an opportunity for all of us to uphold sport as an inspirational means to promote a culture of peace among nations and people everywhere. Just like every athlete is held to account on the playing field where the values of respect, fair play, and inclusion must prevail, we urge all UN member states to observe these values individually and collectively as we welcome the world to Vancouver 2010 Olympic and Paralympic Winter Games in February and March 2010. And after this nice speech by John Furlong of VanOck, Canada and the 191 other member states of the United Nations passed a resolution by consensus, the UN truce resolution that has been passed for every Olympics since 1993, that articulates a bunch of beautiful words and phrases about how the games should be used to promote a culture of peace and sustainability, but also how there should be a ceasing of hostilities in ongoing conflicts from the point 7 days before the opening ceremonies, so that would have been February 5th, to 7 days after the closing ceremonies. And so despite having pledged at the United Nations to uphold the values of the Olympic truce movement, the Canadian government has not only not ceased hostilities, but they have escalated hostilities and been part of NATO's biggest military mobilization in the history of this latest Afghan war. The offensive in southern Afghanistan, just to give some of the basic facts, is called Operation Mushtarak, which is the Dari or Farsi word for together. A somewhat ironic name, as they always find, or Orwellian name, as they always find for these military operations. It's been focused on the city or town of Marja, and which NATO claims to now have essentially taken. They were promoting or warning of this attack on Marja for many days and weeks ahead of its actual launching. And Afghans, including Malalai Joya, who was an elected member of parliament before she was expelled, has explained and spoken out in public that what this means is that wealthy Afghans, people with the means to evacuate and the connections and the money to get themselves and their families out of the town of Marja, would have done so, leaving the, quote, poor and defenseless Afghans to be the main victims of this attack. And that indeed does appear to be the case again with the more than 20 civilians dead. NATO has mobilized more than 15,000 troops for this operation, including Afghan police and Afghan National Army forces to participate in this offensive. Canadian helicopters are involved in supplying and supporting this operation. And also during this past week of the so-called, while we've been observing the so-called Olympic truce, the Canadian government has made it be known that later this spring, Canada will, quote, be the tip of the spear in a new military offensive in Kandahar province, which is, of course, one of the main sites of insurgency and the main location of over 2,000 Canadian troops over the past number of years. So in addition to the hypocrisy of Canada's actions around the Olympic truce, there's another parallel, there's a parallel historically that I think I'd just like to mention very quickly, and that is this year's Olympics marks the 30th anniversary of the boycott of the 1980 Moscow Olympics by almost the entire Western world. There were a few countries that went to Moscow from the West, I think Great Britain, but led by the United States, Canada, over 60 countries boycotted the 1980 Moscow Games, supposedly in order to denounce the invasion and occupation of Afghanistan by Russia, which began at the end of, in the December 1979. And Jimmy Carter in 1980 gave a speech outlining the reasons for the boycott and the reasons for his and the Western world's condemnation of the invasion of Afghanistan. Jimmy Carter said, "The Muslim world is especially and justifiably outraged by this aggression against an Islamic people. No action of a world power has ever been so quickly and so overwhelmingly condemned. But verbal condemnation is not enough. The Soviet Union must pay a concrete price for this aggression." And needless to say, no one is holding our leaders to account and making them pay a concrete price for the aggression they're committing in Afghanistan. Very quickly, because I know we have some interactive questions and maybe some others from the floor here, I just wanted to make two other quick points. We might imagine an Olympic Games that is not merely a corporate spectacle or an opportunity for politicians to score points, to greenwash their agendas, and basically for corporations and the corporate sponsors to make a lot of profits. We might imagine an Olympic Games or an international gathering featuring sporting activities that actually did promote the values expressed in the Olympic Truce Movement statement. Such an Olympics would include, during the course of the Games, condemnation of attacks and massacres at high-profile activities such as medal ceremonies. The major networks' TV coverage would include such things. We might imagine that medal ceremonies would hold moments of silences for Afghan civilians killed in this case, or take moments of silence for victims in all the conflicts going on throughout the world in order to educate the general public about issues of war and peace while they're watching a sport, a two-week sporting spectacle. We also might imagine that instead of just Coca-Cola sponsors tents, RBC, TD Bank, you name it, all of the live sites, the only information that you can get there is corporate promotional information. We might imagine an Olympic Games where the public sites, the free events included tents devoted to information about the conflict in the Congo, for instance, which over the last couple of decades has taken, I believe, over 4 million lives. It's the deadliest conflict in the world. Why wouldn't the Olympic Games be a place for educating the general public about what's happening there? So we just, there's a, anyway, put your mind to that exercise of imagining what an Olympic Games that actually promoted peace and sustainability might be. And concretely, with these 2010 Games and Olympics, I think if there was such a thing as an Olympic truce movement that had any meaning, these would have been the Haiti Olympic Games. And I say that because the events in Haiti over the past month following the earthquake have taken a toll of almost 250,000 lives in a country with less than 10 million people. This is the equivalent of several Hiroshimas and Nagasakis, hundreds of 9/11s on a per capita basis, an absolute devastation of that country. And as we sit in Vancouver and as the games continue, many people continue to go hungry, many people continue to be without shelter. 1 million people each night in Haiti, and mostly in Port-au-Prince, are without shelter, sleeping completely out in the open, that they have been abandoned. And I bring up Haiti not just because of the scale of the humanitarian disaster, but also because of Canada's culpability in the utter lack of social infrastructure and any sort of public sector that could have helped respond to this natural disaster. The over 200,000 deaths are not solely a result of a devastating earthquake. In any other, almost any other country, certainly in the Western Hemisphere, the death toll would not have been as high. And this is because, in part, Haiti's sovereignty, Haiti's ability to organize the form of government it chooses has been systematically undermined, and Canada has played a very leading role in doing this, largely by backing the coup in 2004 as one of the three main Western countries that supported the coup against the democratic government in Haiti in 2004. And the last reason I bring up Haiti is because where we might have imagined an Olympic Games that would have used this media focus and used this coming together of humanity to continue to raise money for the relief effort in Haiti, every television broadcast could have had appeals for continuing donations to Haiti. Athletes could have encouraged to give messages of solidarity to people there and encourage donations. Instead of that, we had the spectacle of our prime minister. After being in Vancouver for the first 2 days for the opening ceremonies, he went to Haiti and promoted Canadian military spending on the backs of the suffering of the Haitian people, claiming that Canada's relief effort showed the need for more military spending. And we can get into it in the Q&A, but the militarization of that relief effort has in fact cost many thousands of lives. And there are many, many reports from NGOs and humanitarian workers that back up that claim. So Stephen Harper's cynicism knows no bounds, and I guess he's the appropriate head of state to be hosting an Olympics that is so flagrantly violating the Olympic truce movement values.
And that was Derek O'Keefe, the co-chair of the Canadian Peace Alliance, speaking last week at the W2 Media Center.